Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number. To a good life's sleep.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in, folks. It's the Early Line. Live right here on Sports Grid on a Thursday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. Over these next 2 hours, a ton to get to. The NBA postseason creeping closer. The play-in last night, delivering a pair of good ones yesterday. TRS, how do we feel here on a Thursday morning?
Feeling good. Feeling good, KW. Energized here. And also, if you were looking at March Madness and saying, how do you try to approach March Madness? I used to say, take the points and pray. Do that in the NBA play-ins. Maybe you can be a millionaire, K-Dub.
I mean, considering it is basically the NBA's version of March Madness, it works out pretty nicely there. We'll start it off in the Eastern Conference, the Toronto Raptors. Oh, boy. Friends up north, look away. A 19-point lead at one point for Toronto evaporates in the second half. They lost the fourth quarter 37-24. Zach LaVine led the way with 39 points in the Chicago Bulls' upset victory 109-105.
Yeah, how about that one? 5.5 grew to close to 6.5 yesterday before game time, and it looked like it was going to be a runaway winner. He had 3-point shots from half court going down. Good vibes in the building, and then there was no more good vibes as the Chicago Bulls of all teams here. And also, K-Dub, that 212.5 goes to the over.
Yeah, it did end up sneaking over that number with, again, that big fourth quarter from Chicago. Yeah. And good for the Bulls. But this now allows us to go open season, full question on what is happening in Toronto. Key players potentially leaving. And will their head coach be fired despite the fact that pretty much everybody thinks he's a pretty good head coach and is still on the roster? A lot of interesting stuff into Toronto. We will break that down. Over on the West Coast side of things, it was another 10 seed getting a win. By the way, for those that don't know the history of the play, and it's not that deep, you probably should be familiar with it. But if you don't, no 10 seed had ever won until yesterday. 2-0 for the 10s. The OKC pulls it off 123-118. Their big quarter came in the third, winning that one 39-24. Who do you think led the way? SGA, 32 points, but he was not alone. 31 for Josh Giddey, 27 for Lou Dort.
Yeah, impressive there by the starters there. And again, not a lot of playoff experience, if you will. But we knew SGA was going to come to play yesterday, 11 of 22. How about this? Giddey was 11 of 22. And I, in my same game parlay, which I did lose yesterday because I couldn't get enough points out of McCollum, I had Dort to score 10 or more points. Guy shows up at 27. That's how it's done. You want to win the playoffs, you need guys to step up and play above their average. They did that yesterday. Fantastic stuff out of OKC, who was tanking on the season. No more.
Certainly not. Can any chance, by the way, Chet Holmgren could sneak back in if the Thunder were to win on Friday? Can we get a Chet Holmgren update out there? We do have a little bit of a Zion update. We'll get to that at the end of maybe here, maybe there. We'll get to it somewhere for the people. Over in Major League Baseball, the Rays. What do you think happened? You think they lost? No, obviously not. You know, I don't know. Maybe the Red Sox are also terrible here. I don't want to really give Tampa Bay credit. 9-7 they win. They've covered the run line, and I think, all but one of these first 12 games? The offense is incredible to start the season. It was again here last Wednesday night.
Yeah, and how about this, too? When you take a look at not covering the run line all but one game, that one game said, hey, they shut out the other team. Oh, it's an easy run line win. No, that was 1-0. They knocked around Sale early. The Rays have offense. I can't believe it.
It is It's very impressive now at this point. I had the hater hat on. I still don't think they should be favorites in the AL East, but that's, I guess, a conversation that we can continue. Let's bring our radio audience in here on a Thursday morning. The early line is live on SiriusXM Channel 159 Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Football updates here. The G-men and their stars, maybe not thrilled. Saquon Barkley, Dexter Lawrence, wondering where the payday is. Donnie, what'd you want them to do? They had to go pay franchise superstar quarterback, most overrated player in maybe NFL history, Daniel Jones.
I mean, first of all, we get the rundown here. I see G-men stars upset. I'm like, it can't be the Giants. They don't even have any superstars on the team. Is it baseball is it talking about? Like, I don't even know who we're talking about here. So we'll get the slander out of the way early. But it was interesting to see that here. Yeah, they're really upset. They should be happy. By the way, Saquon, you better sign that franchise tag as soon as you can because you're not even worth that much.
I don't. Spice there early morning. Yeah. We will get to the Giants stuff, and we will also get to some NFL draft stuff here because zigging and zagging as we're 2 weeks out from the NFL draft. We also did hear that Jeff Bezos now is very, very unlikely to do bid on the Commanders. Somehow, some way, something's wrong here. This doesn't make sense. What's going on, Donnie?
I don't know, but if you are a guy with that much money here, like I'm buying like every single sports league, every single team I can, there's got to be something to it. It has to be personal at this point, right? He's got so much money, he can find that money in these couch cushions here to pay for the Washington Commanders, but I think it's a personal thing. Like, I'm not giving that guy all that money, right? Is this what it feels like?
Which I might have to respect if that's the case. Yeah. Over on the ice last night, the Isles clinched their postseason berth with a 4-2 win over Montreal. Here's the story, though, really. It's the Islanders are a part of it. New York sports thriving. Islanders, Rangers. I mean, the whole Knicks, Nets. If you're from New York, DRS, you're eating good these days.
You are eating good. I mean, that city is big, man. It's got a ton of boroughs. Everybody is the Big Apple. It's all one and the same, and now all those sports teams are in the playoffs.
Now, you certainly wouldn't call Long Island the city, though, right? Just tell me you wouldn't call Long Island the city.
How about Strong Island? I mean, Staten Island.
Strong Island's fine.
Yeah.
Mute his mic for me, man. I got to get people this. A very important Corey Seager update, who's set to miss about a month of baseball. Tough scene there as the Rangers did have themselves a nice start. That is a tough one. We'll be right back. Talk some play-in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the grid, we start with the East 9-10 play-in game where the Raptors hosted the Chicago Bulls, anywhere from a 5 to a 6 point favorite. Low total ends up getting over the number with a 109-105 final score for the Chicago Bulls. And the takeaways from this game, there's a number of them, and the Toronto list is probably longer. So to give Chicago their credit, the two MVPs of this game were quite literally Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan's daughter. For anybody that didn't watch this game, or I don't know, maybe they watched it with the sound off, DeMar DeRozan's daughter screamed during every single free throw the Toronto Raptors took. And you might think, all right, you guys are kind of making something out of nothing. One, it was unmissable. Unmissable, you would have thought they mic'd her up with how much that noise translated throughout all of those free throws. But maybe the biggest reason, Donnie, why we're talking about it, and probably the reason she did it start to finish, the Raptors shot 18 of 36 from the free throw line, where it really, and I don't know, maybe it was a bad night, maybe it's probably a wild coincidence there, but that almost felt like the determining factor in this game, again, along with just a really phenomenal second half from Zach LaVine, who scored 30 points in that second half against this Toronto group.
It was really impressive that the Bulls to go up north. And also, Kevin, both of these games played last night were true elimination games where the loser went home. Whereas Tuesday night, what did we see? Okay, if we lose, we can regroup. Let's see if we can win one more game to get into the playoffs. I actually wanted to see how it would play out at the end of games. Both of these games ended up going over the total. And also, we probably weren't headed for that 212, 212 and a half until that fourth quarter surge from the Chicago Bulls with 37 points. So it's good to see some urgency on the back end. But having said that, Kevin, you see the final score, 109 to 105. You see shooting 50% from the free throw line. And Kevin, it wasn't like, oh, it's 50%. They only got there two for four. So it really didn't make too big of a difference. They were 18 of 36. We're not asking them, Kevin, to shoot 80% or 82% like the Chicago Bulls did. But if you have one team that shoots 82% and one team that shoots 50%, and there's a lot of volume from the free throw line, that is massive. That's why you lost that game. You could say turnovers, folded up shop, played tight down the stretch. No. Just look at the free throw line. Make 75% of your free throws. Heck, make 70% of those. You win this basketball game. I think you could put it squarely, Kevin, right on the free throws alone.
It's hard not to. 18 of 36 for an NBA team is outrageous.
Unbelievable.
And Pascal Siakam, who got fouled on a three-point shot down by three, who needed to make all three. Now, I understand that that's a tough ask. Pascal, a 78% shooter from the line, he missed two out of three. Like, it wasn't like, he couldn't get. No, he missed two out of three. He went 5 of 11 in this game. OG Anunoby, 3 of 8. Scotty Barnes, Fred VanVleet went 3 of 6. Fred VanVleet is an elite free throw shooter. It was the whole team, which is why it's not that tongue-in-cheek to bring up DeMar's daughter. And that's why sometimes a broadcast has a little bit too much fun with something. It genuinely feels like a real part of the story of this game. For Chicago, to end this kind of on them, because, again, I think the Toronto side's really interesting. And, of course, we'll get to Bulls Heat, which is what the Bulls have now done, is they've locked themselves into a game against Miami. The winner will draw the Milwaukee Bucks in the opening round. You see the benefit of having two guys that can truly get theirs. DeMar was solid, not great last night, 23 points, 10 of 19 shooting, but LaVine heated up, and LaVine took over this game, ultimately getting to 39. Does this Chicago roster fit perfectly? No, not really, but at least they didn't end this on a completely sour note. Toronto did, and now the question is who will remain. Fred VanVleet has a player option. He will almost guaranteed be opting out of that to secure a long-term deal somewhere. Gary Trent has a player option. Odds are he probably opts out in an attempt to secure a long-term deal somewhere. Maybe Toronto, maybe somewhere else. Pascal Siakam could be traded. And the thing is, Pascal could have been traded at the deadline. And so could have Fred VanVleet. And so could have Gary Trent Jr. And none of them were traded. Because the genius, Masai Ujiri, did nothing. He did nothing. He sat there and let this team finish 500. Here's the deal. They could have won this game that they were favored in. They would have been dogs against Miami. Maybe they would have pulled the upset there. And then what? Lost to Milwaukee in 5 games. Masai Ujiri had a decision to make at the deadline. And his decision was to make no decision. And now it feels like we're going to go into next season with the Raptors. And it's not going to feel like a team in the mix at all. It feels like they are going to get worse, no doubt, during this offseason here, and they might be best off bottoming out. Now, I think Masai Ujiri could complete a rebuild. I think Masai Ujiri, with an opportunity to have a year to reset the tools, would make a lot of sense. But I don't know if Toronto's going to do that, because if Toronto's going to do that, why didn't they do that when that was the obvious move at the deadline here? Oh, and if you're going to do that, does Nick Nurse want to stay around for a rebuild? Or is Nick Nurse, who won an NBA championship with you just a couple of years ago, going to all of a sudden find himself out of the blue, Doug Peterson style? The Toronto Raptors offseason has a ton of questions. I'm just not sure the people up north are going to really like the answers.
They have some talent on their basketball team. I don't think we can deny that here. But here's the thing that I do think it's interesting with Masai Ujiri running that team. He took a flyer on Kawhi Leonard with no future attachments, but said, you know what? If we're going to win a championship, or at least try to win a championship, these are the moves that you do have to make in order to do that. Kawhi Leonard comes in, plays 1 year for the Raptors, wins a title, and then bounces. Mission accomplished, though. It was always kind of interesting why, you know, you didn't see the players stick around long-term. Kawhi ends up going out to L.A. That's one thing. But let's fast forward to this year, Kevin, and you're right at the break. They have a lot of talent. But you know what I loved in hearing, and this seems to be all over the place, which is why I have a future on the Phoenix Suns. I hope they win the NBA championship. Because how many times do we have to hear this, Kevin? I'm not giving up Scottie Barnes for Kevin Durant straight up. You better throw something in there. You think you're going to get Siakam straight up for Kevin Durant? What are you, nuts? Yeah, well, congratulations. You didn't even make the playoffs. Why, Kevin Durant is probably one of the favorites in the NBA to win the NBA championship. How much different would this team have looked? Because, yeah, you might have just rode this out if you're looking from Ujiri's perspective by saying, well, we're good enough. Eventually, we'll catch on. It was a 500 basketball team that couldn't even win with a large lead at home against the Bulls in a play-in game. Major changes need to happen, but I do always get a kick out of, oh, one of the better players in the NBA is available. We're not going to give up one of our young players in order to get one of the best players of all time. It's never worked out in the past. Oh, yes, it has. Kawhi Leonard got you a ring. Maybe if you tried that again, things could have been different, Kevin.
I think the Raptors were one of those. The way that Durant timeline for me always kind of read was KD was available. Everybody called. The Nets are like, yeah, we want everything because it's Kevin Durant. And then the entire league was like, man, hit the brakes. You got no leverage. And then the season started and KD was his usual phenomenal self. And it was like, whoa, hey, you still trading KD? What's the deal? And it was too late. Like, they all missed this opportunity. You know, I don't know how I'm going to get, but the Celtics were another one of those teams that were heavily involved in the Kevin Durant conversations because it felt like they could have got the deal done. And Jaylen Brown might leave this offseason. And if the Celtics do not win the title this year, and then Jaylen Brown is just gone, like, that's also another team that fumbled the bag. A lot of teams fumbled the bag on that Kevin Durant situation. And you're right. Toronto was one of them. But now what? Now what? If you're the Raptors, and here's the thing, look, the ebbs and flows of sport. You delivered a title somewhat recently, and there is value in being competitive. But you are very likely about to lose Fred VanVleet for nothing. And Pascal Siakam is going to probably, maybe, make an all-NBA team. You can call Portland up. Maybe Damian Lillard will force Portland's hand into trading for Pascal Siakam. And then they can go out there and finish ninth in the West next year. And we can be like, oh, I don't know how this went wrong. But obviously, it went wrong. So the Raptors resetting makes the most sense. But that made sense 2 months ago, and they didn't do it. We'll see what their decisions are over the offseason. We get to the Western Conference play-in and a look at the Denver Nuggets next right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on Sports Grid, the Western Conference 9-10 play-in game delivered an upset, as, of course, did that Eastern Conference game. The Thunder as a 5-point underdog, win by 5 in New Orleans, 123-118. This game going well over the total. The opening day of the play-in, double unders. Day two of the play-in, double overs. For the Oklahoma City Thunder, though, their preseason expectations were very low. And I know SGA, which understandable, many do. They kind of, you know, the Instagram post, people thought we were going to be terrible. Part of the reason people thought the Thunder would be terrible is the Thunder have decided to be terrible for multiple seasons in a row. I still can't quite, I'm not positive, okay? If you ask Sam Presti, is he happy that they went 40-42 and have a chance to be in the playoffs? I'm not sure what his answer would be, considering the Thunder were Mr. Victor Wembanyama. Just so, because all of you at this point know who Victor Wembanyama is. Last year, when the Thunder selected Chet Holmgren, there were people who were saying, can Chet and Victor Wembanyama play together? You know, that conversation was there because we were like, well, the Thunder are obviously going to lose as many games as possible. SGA being phenomenal and averaging over 30 points per game, to a degree surprising, but the bigger surprise is that they didn't randomly shut him down out of nowhere because they, whoa, we're winning far too many basketball games.
But the Thunder are now in one of the most enviable spots of any franchise in the NBA. The SGA is the oldest player that started for them last night at 24 years old. Lou Dort's 23. The two Jalen Williamses are 21 and 20, and then Giddy's 20 as well. And Chet Holmgren might be the best player on the Thunder in a couple of years' time. And they have a zillion draft picks to obviously do work with here. Oklahoma City this season is an absolute obvious success. The question for OKC is eventually going to turn to how far can they push this and when do they push in on all of the pieces that they have if perhaps another star player came available elsewhere in the NBA. But for the time being, Donnie, I mean, the way that this team has changed expectations, they won last night. I'm sure you're the same as me. Not surprised at all. They've been winning like this all season long.
Yeah, and also now it's time, is what we like to say, Kevin, land the plane. Land the plane for them, which means next year is the year that you start to try to make a run. And you're right, Kevin. Entering into the season, we all laughed. It's almost like you got a little wry smile on your face when it's like, oh, Chet Holmgren got an injury press. He's like, bah, perfect scenario. Our top draft pick, the guy we think is going to dominate for our franchise for a decade, won't play this year? Sign me up for that. That should be another year of tanking. But some other teams had plans where they were going to out-tank OKC, and they did. But here are the Oklahoma City Thunder in the play-in round and playing well on the road. I'm pretty impressed down the stretch because it's very hard for an organization or players to flip the script over, which means OKC knew their players alike. We're actually not trying to win basketball games this year, but the team actually gelled and played together. And I do believe if you give truth serum to Sam Presti over the last month, he was probably hoping this team would fold up and drop into the standings to improve their chances of getting a higher draft pick. But they played well down the stretch, and they couldn't just hide SGA anymore and say, hey, random, you got close to a guy with COVID. Your brother-in-law's in Florida. He got COVID. You're from Oklahoma City. Like, you got that's close contact. You talked on the phone here. You got to sit this one out. And I'm joking about that, but half-heartedly, because I do believe Oklahoma City did not even want to make the play-in round. But I love the fact that they made the play-in round. They won a basketball game. They're not into the true playoffs yet. They have to win again, but this should give that organization a pause in the offseason to go, now's the time to get after it. Regardless of where we draft, Holmgren's coming back. We have a lot of draft capital. We have a lot of money under the salary cap. You can press it in, and not to say, Kevin, we expect to do big things next year by winning an NBA championship, but we should be coming into the season going, hey, let's take a look at OKC's win total to the over for once, not the under.
I can't wait to see what that number is. You would anticipate, I mean, it's going to be significantly higher. They win 40 games this year. Is the expectation going to be above 500? I don't know, but it'd be around there. It'd be around there. For the Thunder to take their opponent on the other side of this, which of these two teams, right, has the better outlook? And many people without any hesitation would say the Thunder at this point. And I get it, right? SGA is one of the top 20 players in the NBA. You could probably have him higher, but he's definitely somewhere in the top 20. For the Pelicans, they have Brandon Ingram and they have Zion Williamson. The problem is they don't play together. Luka and Kyrie played 16 games together this year. Luka and Kyrie. Brandon Ingram and Zion played 12 together this season. And I know the bigger issue is Zion, but Brandon Ingram has hardly been a model of health himself in the NBA, and especially in New Orleans. And we'll expand on the Zion aspect of this at the end of the hour here. But I think, the big thing for New Orleans is you have to feel like you have most of the guys in the building. Trey Murphy had a breakout season. It's about having the guys on the floor. The Pelicans in December were the number one seed in the Western Conference. I know that's early into the season, but for that to turn around and then end in a no playoffs at all is a really tough pill to swallow for this New Orleans team.
No, it really is. And if you go back a couple months here, right on this show, I believe we had Coach James Young on the show and saying, like, what's one of those teams you're looking forward to play, bet, or even watch? And it was easy to pick out the New Orleans Pelicans. This was one of those teams we thought would take that next step. We thought would be a player, maybe a top four seed in the Western Conference heading into the playoffs, able to win maybe two rounds to get to the Western Conference Finals. That wasn't too far-fetched, because when you take a look at the starting lineup, if it was healthy, it's pretty impressive. And you're always looking to try to take that team that's coming up next. And I really thought it was going to be the Pelicans. They finished at 42-40, knocked out in the play-in round. Never my wildest dreams that I think that would happen, but I guess I should have saw it coming here. We are trusting Zion Williamson to be healthy for a season, or should I say, Kevin, somewhat healthy, or should I even say just be available here, even on a pitch count where you can only play 15 or 20 minutes late in the season. We couldn't even get that. They still made the play-in, which I guess is okay, but the future that was so, so bright for New Orleans, at least from me, no longer bright, man. It's cloudy, and hopefully they can get some sunshine next year, which means those players stay together and get healthy, but that's a tall ask.
I mean, you talk about an interesting win total on the Thunder. Good luck with the New Orleans win total. But, I mean, it was an under this year, but the talent is there. We know the talent's there. Let me get to the Denver Nuggets quickly, though. We'll get to the Zion stuff at the end of the hour. The reason I want to bring up Denver is the Nuggets are at the moment not really being discussed at all. And to a degree, that is understandable, right? The last day of the regular season, a lot of the chatter was, of course, the Clippers, should they have lost that game intentionally? Now they've got to play Phoenix. Phoenix, nobody wants to play them. So that was kind of a portion of it, right? Then everybody starts talking about Golden State. Oh, my goodness. What a favorable draw. They're going to beat Sacramento. They're better than -200 to win that series. Then we get to the play-in. The Lakers are playing. Well, of course, all we're doing is we're talking about the Lakers. Well, who are they playing? Memphis. All right, so all we're doing is we're talking about Memphis. All the while, the number one seed in this conference has just kind of sat there waiting, right? 53-29 on the year, 34-7 at home. And they've moved slightly, but they have moved in their odds to win the championship from 11-1 to 10-1. Their West price has moved from plus 380 to plus 360. And I'm curious, when we look at this Denver team, are they sneaky winners of this play-in? And I feel like the answer to that has to be yes. Going into the last day of the regular season, the play-in matchup could have been Clippers-Lakers, which all of a sudden then Denver might have had to play the Clippers or the Lakers. The Warriors had a chance to drop into the play-in. Denver might have had to play one of them. Instead of all those, you know, more difficult scenarios for the Nuggets, their opening round matchup is either going to be a Minnesota team that is desperate to self-implode at any moment. And while Rudy Gobert would be back for the series, JT McDaniels is not coming back. He broke his hand. Or you get an Oklahoma City Thunder team who, again, has had themselves a nice season, but I don't think would be competitive at all in that series and would be lucky to win a game. When we talk, you know, play-in winners, obviously there's the teams that win the game, but the futures market continues to move in other ways. And I think the Denver Nuggets have been a winner, Donnie, with how the play-in stuff is broken.
Yeah, and I guess you could say that too, because also maybe they had that perfect strategy down the stretch where they could afford time to one of the best players in the NBA, Nikola Jokic, to get some rest in. And they've been off for quite some time. So you're hoping that they're not going to be rusty once the playoffs' true first round does begin. But if you're looking for a team that needed to get rested here and just get away from the game for a couple days, that was the Denver Nuggets. I always thought regardless, they probably would win in round one because they are a very, very good home team. But again, that round two matchup that we're looking at is going to be a tough one, but at least in the first round, you have the ability to not get embarrassed, I guess, Kevin, we can say, by, hey, you were the number one seed. You had one of the best players in the NBA. You couldn't even make it out of round one here. That would be terrible, because that could have been a problem if it was Golden State and they got hot, as you said, another team, let's just say the Clippers. But I do think if they play Minnesota, it should be, quite frankly, an easy victory for them. Then it starts to get tougher after there, of course, for the Denver Nuggets.
And I think you're right in that Denver was always going to be favored in a 1-8. But Memphis is favored over the Lakers, minus 140, right? Compare that to a Sixers, who are a minus 900, minus 1,000 price, varying degrees. And also, having to play a 4 or 5 game series versus a 6 or 7 game series can always make the difference. We pause on the NBA. When we come back, we're talking about the latest NFL draft rumors. Who's going first? Who's going second? Who's even drafting first? We break that down.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yearly Line is live right here on a Thursday, and we are 2 weeks away exactly where on the 27th, a Thursday, the NFL draft will begin. And the rumors are heating up, and they're a little difficult right now. How long ago? A month ago, right? Bryce Young was about minus 300 to be the first overall pick. And at the time, the Chicago Bears had the first overall pick. And the difficulty of that price was, for me at least, that Chicago didn't seem like they wanted to draft there. They were going to trade out because they decided that Justin Fields would be their guy. Totally fine. But then how could Bryce be minus 300 if we really don't have confidence in who's drafting? We then get the trade. Up comes Carolina. And what do you know? Apparently they love C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud quickly becomes the favorite and a big favorite at minus 300. And then that starts to get reeled back in, and we get closer to pick'em range. Well, here we are, 2 weeks out. Bryce Young minus 270, C.J. Stroud plus 200. What the heck is going on? Has Carolina made their decision that they are in on Bryce Young? Maybe. Or Carolina is actually going to trade up to the first overall spot and trade back to 2 with the Houston Texans. To give people the full scope here, as C.J. Stroud is the favorite to go 2 overall, but at a plus price, and we'll expand on that. The idea is that the Texans, Donnie, only like Bryce Young. That's the working theory right now, it seems to be, in the NFL circles, that they would draft Bryce Young, they will not draft C.J. Stroud, which has a domino effect, of course. If they come up to number 1 overall and take Bryce Young, then the Panthers at 2 would probably take a quarterback. Anthony Richardson goes somewhere in the top 5. And this is all kind of how we saw it playing out. But if the Texans say, Carolina, do what you want. We're not in a rush. We're young. With a young year one head coach. And next year's draft has Caleb Williams. And we're not going to be too concerned. And has Drake May. We're going to let things play out how we see fit. Well, then all of a sudden, Bryce Young goes 1, then Will Anderson goes 2, and then the Cardinals have no idea what they're doing, and then the whole thing kind of falls apart, Donnie, here. So Bryce is minus 270, but we still have a massive issue on our hands. I have no idea who's actually going to pick first overall in this draft.
You sort of lean towards where the numbers are going here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now, decided favorite for Bryce Young. We've seen that before. Maybe it changes. Maybe it doesn't. But the one notion that we have to get out there right now, the notion that the Carolina Panthers had no idea who they were going to take when they traded up to number 1. I love this notion. No business operates like that. Let's just throw capital around and, heck, let's get up there. And then Frank Reich goes, okay, great. We got the number 1 pick. Who's actually a quarterback here that we can start reviewing? Come on now. You have scouts years in advance getting ready for this type of scenario. There's no way they traded up to number 1, Kevin, go, well, we like a few quarterbacks, but now we get the pick. They knew exactly who they wanted. Smoke screens going around, but I do think there is some validity to this. They probably liked Bryce Young all along. I love the smoke screens that came out that could somehow found its way out to Twitter. Hey, by the way, Frank Reich never worked with a smaller quarterback. Well, there's no real small quarterbacks getting drafted in the first round about 6 feet or under. It just doesn't happen all that much. So there's no track record for that, but I love that commentary. Like, oh, they got to be going for C.J. Stroud. Frank's never worked with a Bryce Young quarterback. Stop the madness here. I always thought Bryce Young was the best overall quarterback in football. But again, let's get back to where they sit in the draft, number 1 overall. Here's the thing that you would like to do. I think they always wanted Bryce Young. But if they get into the evaluation process and say, hey, you know what? There's really not a massive difference between Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. What happens if we put those feelers out that we're willing to get out of number 1 and maybe trade back to 2 or 3 and still get our guy and retain some capital? That would be a very smart move, but also put you at a lot of risk for Now you don't have the number one pick. You can't make that infinite decision where it's like, hey, everybody's on the board. We'll get our guy. Things can change. Other teams can trade up and trade out. I don't see that happening here, but I do think it's kind of hilarious that these numbers are fluctuating so much because of the belief that Carolina is truly in a struggle in their scouts. Like, man, we just don't know who we're going to take here. Trust me, the Panthers have known for months if they wound up in the top spot exactly who they would take. Let's see how this number moves, Kevin. Bryce Young's minus 270. Does it go to minus 300, minus 350, minus 400? We'll know in a couple days here, but certainly trending in the direction that they've always wanted Bryce Young here.
Let's have some fun with this for a second, though, because I'm not saying you should be wrong, but we know NFL teams operate, Donnie, probably in an odd way. So allow me to push back, even though, again, in theory, you should be 100% correct. Most teams should know what they think about a lot of the top players in this draft. And you're right. You should really know what you think about the quarterback class if you're going to go from 9 to 1. But all these teams are doing these top 30 visits, and that includes all of these quarterbacks right now. Is it really inconceivable that Carolina traded up to 1 just so they could get up to 1 and then they'd figure it out from there? Honestly, I understand that if you ran the Panthers, that would never happen, and I think you'd do a nice job. But is it really inconceivable that Carolina came up to 1 saying, we think it's a good class, we're likely going to fall in love with one of these guys, and maybe we'll trade back? Is that really inconceivable to you?
It is, because how could you run your franchise that way? Let's just say it played out that way, Kevin, right? The Carolina Panthers, out of nowhere, the owner goes, you know what? I'm bored today. Give me the number one pick, and we'll see what happens. Okay, we just made that trade here. And then they go into the room and go, oh, my God. Like, Bryce Young's too short. His hands are too small. Like, he's not our guy. Well, how about this guy Stroud? Oh, man, Big Ten quarterback coming from Ohio State. I don't know how we can trust that here. Oh, trade out of it. Oh, no, we just lost three third-round picks in evaluation because we just wanted to have some fun to get to the number one spot. You can't operate like that. You have to know who you want. Now, granted, if they would have waited another 2 or 3 weeks down the line, made the trade up, you could officially say, yeah, we're about a week ahead of the draft. They went up to number one because they know exactly who they want. But I'm just not buying into it that we were bored on a Friday afternoon or whenever it was, make this number one pick deal just so we can steal some headlines. Lines and then I hope we find our quarterback. They didn't trade into that spot because also, Kevin, how about a decade ago, right? Carson Wentz, Jared Goff. The Rams get the top overall pick. The Eagles trade up to 2. And the question, oh, you know, we like everybody. We moved into 2 because, you know, we like both guys. No, you don't. You knew exactly who you were getting in that 2 spot. That's why you went there. For me, the Panthers, and again, if it comes out and somebody writes a book down the line like, wow, what a crazy season it was for the Panthers. They actually had no idea who they were going to take, but just wanted the number one spot. Then everybody would know Frank Wright, general manager, and the owner probably sold the team at that point in embarrassment because how foolish that sounds. I think they knew exactly who they wanted all along here.
Now, okay, so then here's the other end of that coin. Can you, because this is something I struggle with every year with these quarterbacks. Is it possible to like Bryce Young and CJ Stroud the same amount? To me, quarterback is too important for that to be the case. It is too important to be like, listen, we got both these guys graded at 97. We'll take whichever one, man. Like, let us get a third rounder out of Houston, and this is all going to be fine. I refuse to believe that's the case. But a world where Carolina, look, sometimes the odds never lie. Carolina went up to 1, and it was minus 300, minus 350, it was going to be C.J. Stroud. But it seems pretty obvious that it got out that Houston only likes Bryce Young. So Carolina's like, well, hold on a minute now. Let's go out there. We're going to threaten to take Bryce. We're not taking Bryce. We're going to threaten to take Bryce. We're going to make them give us a second-round pick for no reason, and we're going to just take the guy we like at 2, and this will be great. It's something, right, that if you remember the Niners-Bears, the Niners sat there at 2, never taken a quarterback, and somehow tricked the Chicago Bears into trading up for a pick to get Mitchell Trubisky because the Bears were awful. And they were out there getting GMs of the year and coach of the years, and again, they should rescind all those awards. And I don't know then how to work all of this right now, but and this is why it's so important to make the distinction, Donnie. The odds for the number one overall pick is Bryce Young.
It is not the odds to draft. It's not the Panthers' first pick. You know what I mean? That's kind of the big difference here. I am starting to believe, and we talked about this the Monday we got back after kind of the draft stuff broke. I am starting to believe that Carolina wants to trade out of one just to go back one spot and force Houston to come up to take Bryce Young.
Now, granted, we don't know what's going to take place. Let's just say if it does, and that would be some pretty good craftsmanship down there for Carolina if this does work out in their favor. Like, if you traded up to one, then traded back to two, picked up an extra second-round pick and still got a good quarterback, that's a huge win. But that's very rare to try to bank on that, as that's, hey, look, let's get to one. We can always trade out of one and improve our draft stock and still get the quarterback that we want. That would be a crazy process overall. So if it does play out that way and it works out for Carolina, that's magic genius, and maybe everybody every year goes, hey, number one pick, I'll just trade up for it and then let the chips fall where they may. As long as there's a couple good quarterbacks, we'll be able to make out and essentially trade that pick back, which then leads us up to the Chicago Bears. Why wouldn't they just waited it all the way out and say, man, these teams are getting absolutely desperate at this point? Because desperation, Kevin, comes with deadlines. What's the deadline? The actual NFL draft. So the Bears spun out of that weeks and weeks and weeks in advance. Let's see if now the Carolina Panthers use that to their advantage and somebody gets really desperate coming down the stretch like the Texans and goes, we can't live without Bryce Young. We got to get the number one. We'll give you an extra draft pick to get that on top of what you had just to get that spot. And then the Chicago Bears are going like, huh, maybe we should have actually waited out and had two to three teams bidding on this top spot at this point here. Here's what would be wild. Like, the Bears bid to get back into the number one spot. That's what I want to see in the next week.
I agree. They listen, man, we don't even like DJ Moore all that much, man. Let us get it back up there, actually. You know, but let me just play this out, right? So let's say the Panthers go, we like Bryce Young, we're taking Bryce Young, boom, he's off the board, right? And the Texans, which I don't think is outrageous, the Texans going, we got all the time in the world, D'Amico, we don't need a quarterback, go draft Will Anderson, which I think D'Amico Ryans would be over the moon about, right? So all of a sudden then Will Anderson, who's plus 300 to go second overall, cashes. Odds to go number three right now, Anthony Richardson plus 110, Will Anderson plus 250, C.J. Stroud 6-1. All of a sudden, Arizona is sat there going, well, we don't even have enough time to field all these phone calls because now C.J. Stroud is on the board at three. And that would be that's where value to me comes in. Stroud at plus 600 to go third overall. Now, again, value versus cashing tickets. We're 2 weeks out, which is still a ton of time with stuff like this. But that is, the other thing is, if you're the Texans and you refuse to draft a quarterback that's not Bryce Young and you're sat at two, are you trading out? Or are you just sitting there, Donnie, and taking Will Anderson? That's the other kind of part of this equation that we just don't know right now.
Yeah, you're trading out of that spot. But here's what I love, too. You just brought up, and I know we got to keep this short. Arizona in the three spot. I would like, the organization is so dysfunctional from what we're finding out. I do believe that they got on the board at three and Stroud was like, oh, my God, we never expected this scenario. How much time we got? 10 minutes. Oh, no. Oh, just pick anybody you want because we have no idea that this scenario. That's what you get paid to do is figure out scenarios where they would be completely shocked and be like, I don't even know what to do at this point. Yeah, that'd be great.
I they would end up drafting Stroud. They'd be like, we're going to draft him, and then we're going to trade him after. And be like, well, everybody else is going to make their own decisions, Arizona. But like, don't even worry about it. And then Kyler Murray, well, he won't tweet during the draft because he'll probably be playing Call of Duty during the draft. True. But at some point, he'll tweet frustration.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out the hour, stopping back in the NBA. And the question is, what is next for Zion? Here's the deal. This is a subject that has been a big point of talking for myself and Donnie for quite some time. And the Zion updates, for me, have always been very puzzling. Because most people, when they, you know, we're going to reevaluate him in 2 weeks. Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that guy will play in 2 weeks. Usually you don't come back and go, all right, we're a month away. Something has never really made a ton of sense with the way this Zion stuff has played out. And maybe we've recently had some insight that this is not just a physical thing, but a mental thing with Zion. And look, call it what it is. My generation versus Donnie's generation. One of us is more likely to be sympathetic towards that situation than the other. It's what it is. I think in some way, though, Zion and maybe the Pelicans, not the Pelicans, but at least Zion, Donnie, is probably better off that they got eliminated last night. So he doesn't have to have this question continue to loom around him for the remainder of what would be this New Orleans postseason.
It is. And also, you got to wonder for the guys in the locker room going like, hold on. Like, I'm coming out for my pregame shoot around. Zion's putting on a show on one end of the court, but he says he doesn't feel like playing with us tonight into the next round. Now, you can grant it by saying like, well, where are you going to see Zion next? I don't know. Him and Ben Simmons at LA Fitness this weekend in an awesome 3-on-3 tournament with a couple other teams. Maybe that's where he's going. But if I'm in that locker room and I see that here and we're fighting for our lives and this guy's putting on a dunk show but says he's not ready to play, I got questions in that locker room about Zion Williamson.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair. I think it's probably accurate that those guys have questions. I mean, you would like to think that they talk and there's probably more understanding between teammates, but maybe there is, maybe there isn't. I question the organization, though, and not even from a sense of blame, but just what are they doing? What is the communication level right now? The lack of clarity that we've had on this Zion situation throughout, very, very puzzling. We'll go to hour number two. Some baseball starts it off.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses, plus free delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number. To a good life's sleep.